now our regular guest Joan Lewis is back to take a look behind the scenes at events here in the Vatican over the past 7 days, beginning with Pope Benedict's words as he presided over an ordination mass in St. Peter's last Sunday. Joan, great to have you back in studio once again this week. Pope Benedict began with an important ordination mass, didn't he, in St. Peter's this
Indeed.
Past weekend?
The Diocese of Rome, of which, of course, he is the bishop as the pope, now has 14 new priests. He ordained 14 deacons and had a wonderful homily. Of course, the ceremony is always a beautiful. It's beautiful, obviously, for these men who've gone through the seminary years and are giving up their lives for the church. It's beautiful for their families, especially families that have supported vocations. And I know the Pope has talked about that in the past when he's talked about vocations.
And, of course, coming at the end of the year for priests,
sure.
It's a wonderful occasion in that sense, too, isn't it? To see these examples of people dedicating their lives to Christ.
Well, you know, I was a little surprised, as a matter of fact, that there weren't ordinations like this during the year for priests. I can understand when the Holy Father started out, he said it would begin and end on the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, obviously the patronal feast, if you will, you know, of the priesthood. But they occurred, as you said, though, very close to the end of it. And I love it when the Holy Father talked at the beginning of his homily, saying why priests are so special. We do things that nobody else can do because of the sacrament of orders. And I loved it. He didn't say, when you celebrate Mass. He said, when we. Because even if he's the Holy Father, he's basically still a priest, right? And he said, when we celebrate Mass, we have the bread of heaven in our hands, the bread of God who is Christ, the grain broken to be multiplied and become the true food for life for the world. And he says, this cannot but fill you with a sense of inner wonder. You almost sensed his own sense of inner wonder at this, and though he would have been celebrating Mass for so many years, a sense of wonder, of living joy, and immense gratitude, because now the love and gift of the crucified and glorious Christ pass through your hands and your hearts. And I thought he gave some words of admonishment then to the priest. He said, the priesthood must never represent a way to achieve security in life or to attain a social position. Anyone who aspires to the priesthood in order to increase their personal prestige and power has radically misunderstood the significance of this ministry. So, and he says, anyone whose main goal is to realize an ambition of his own will always be a slave to himself and to public opinion. So he was stressing here what we know is for actually Pope Benedict and was for John Paul, of all the titles that a pope has, both of them preferred the servant of the servants of God, which is what the priestly ministry is. It is one of service.
And this isn't the first time Pope Benedict has warned against this kind of culture of clericalism, is it?
Anytime he meets with priests, sometimes when he meets with the priest from the Diocese of Rome and there's the question-answer session, he always manages to weave that aspect into one of the answers that he will give to questions. So he really painted a beautiful picture of what the priesthood is and what the priesthood should not be, to make it very clear to those of us who are the faithful, to whom these men administer.
Following that ordination mass on that same Sunday at his Angelus address, he also had a very strong appeal, didn't he, for the very fragile situation there in Kyrgyzstan, an appeal for peace.
He did. That was at the beginning, because usually when the Holy Father, I think our listeners know, before the Pope prays the Angelus, he reflects on something. It could be the reading of the day or, in this case, a mass of ordination. And then after praying the Angelus, there's usually some kind of reflection about a situation in the world. And he did talk, as you said, he launched a pressing appeal for peace and security to be promptly reestablished in the southern part of the country following the serious clashes of recent days. And, of course, he expressed, as he always would in a situation like this, his closeness to the victims, and said he was praying for everyone suffering. But he did invite all ethnic communities, which, of course, is obviously at the root of what's happening in the country. He invited all the ethnic communities to renounce forms of provocation, any form of provocation or violence. And he asked the international community to strive so that humanitarian aid can soon reach the people affected. And I think one of the problems there with the humanitarian aid, the violence was so bad that for humanitarian agencies to try to get into certain parts of cities where people did need food, they had nothing. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. They didn't have electricity. They were just, you know, like living like people did 3,000 years ago.
Many of them have then continued to flee the country, haven't they, since this fight?
Well, that's it. You've got a huge refugee situation. Refugees are easier to take care of in another country. It's not a good situation for them or the receiving country. But also Sunday, the Holy Father mentioned that Sunday marked the UN-sponsored World Day of Refugee. And, of course, here we are. We've just been talking about the refugees created by this situation. And of the things that he said, what I felt was very important was when he said, refugees wish to be welcomed and to see their dignity and fundamental rights recognized. He said at the same time they intend to make their own contribution to the society that welcomes them. And a refugee, if you look at what they are, they've been forced to flee their home. They don't want to be there. They'd rather be home, be in their home, be working, have life be very, very normal.
Moving on a little bit then, during the week, we saw, for all art lovers, a very interesting news story. The
yes.
Vatican unveiling these incredibly ancient images of St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John, and St. Andrew. It was
Andrew.
A fascinating story, wasn't it?
Oh, to go there. I joined a whole bunch of colleagues. They had a bus to bring us from the press office to the tombs, the catacombs of St. Tecla. And I had not, I knew of a St. Tecla associated with St. Paul, but in Turkey. And this is a Roman noble lady, Saint Tecla, who is buried in this complex. Now, these are not catacombs, we should say to people right away. These are not catacombs opened to the general public like Callistus or Sebastiano or Saint Cecilia. Will they ever be? There were no signs of that by the people who were showing us around on Tuesday. But there will be visits possible for specific groups. Now, the interesting thing is when we went into these catacombs, where they found like a double chamber, kind of an anteroom, and then this actual like burial chamber. And it was on the walls and ceiling of the chamber that you had these amazing images. And I posted a lot of pictures on my blog. And it's a very, very small room. We only went in, I think, like four at a time. But the walls were so encrusted with calcium that it actually looked like they were covered with white paint or snow. And they used a laser technology. So the Pontifical Commission for Sacred Archaeology and then other, they connected up with other scientific bodies to work together on this because they had to rent a laser to get this off the wall. And what they did, they were able to remove the calcium but without damaging any of the artwork underneath. So you have what, as I say, just imagine creating an image on a piece of white paper and then covering that with flour or something. And you can barely see the trace of what you've just painted. And then you take off the flour, and there it is, all these splendid colors. So to have pictures, these are known, these depictions, these frescoes, are said to be the earliest representations of these four saints anywhere on earth. So we're talking 4th century, we're talking the 300s, and that's pretty amazing. And what is amazing also that the people pointed out who were showing us around and gave us a press conference is that these images uncovered, this has been a two-year process of work, these images, once they were uncovered, actually depict the saints, especially Peter and Paul, very much as we have imagined them to be from later art and from other descriptions. So you have St. Paul with a very long face, a very high forehead, you know, kind of smallish, deep-set eyes and a beard. And then you've got St. Peter, always pictured as the older St. Peter, robust, wonderful thick head of white hair and a very, you know, white beard. And so, like you said, for art lovers, for archaeology lovers, history, so many people, this was very interesting for.
Just a quick look then at Wednesday and the Pope's general audience, an important catechesis because he was concluding, wasn't he, the third part, if you like, of his trilogy on St. Thomas Aquinas.
A man whom very obviously the Holy Father knows very well, his readings, his writings, his life. And the Pope called St. Thomas's Summa Theologica his masterpiece. And he said, of course, it contains 512 questions and 2,669 articles in which the saint, quote, precisely, clearly, and pertinently outlines the truths of the faith as they emerge from the teachings of Scripture and the fathers of the church. And what I particularly found amazing, at one point, the Holy Father mentions that the way that St. Thomas lays out his various explanations of things, it corresponds to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And so, which is what we believe, how we pray, what the church teaches us. He lays things out in very much the same way that centuries and centuries after him, the Catechism of the Catholic Church would have done.
Okay, Jane, thank you very much for being with us today. We'll not be speaking to you at this same time next week because you're off to Iraq, very excitingly, aren't you, for the ordination of the new Bishop of Erbil.
Of Erbil, yes, and Father Bashar Wardas. So
we wish you a wonderful journey there, and we'll look forward to seeing you back just after that in our studios. Thanks again.
Okay.
Thanks there to Joan Lewis taking an insider's look at what's been going on here in the Vatican over the past 7 days.